I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. This has been a solemn day for Haiti. The small island nation is marking the second anniversary of the earthquake that devastated so many lives there. Ceremonies were held at mass graves to remember the 300,000 dead, and church services were held across Haiti to give new hope to the living. 1.5 million Haitians were left homeless by the quake. Many are still living in tents as reconstruction proceeds at a painfully slow pace. The BBC's Laura Trevelyan is in the capital, Port-au-Prince, a city that continues to bear the quake scars. And as we hear in her report, many there are still struggling to heal.
Outside the ruins of the National Cathedral in Port-au-Prince, a blind man sings of the earthquake which took just 35 seconds to kill and flatten. Haiti's strength, he sings, is an example to the world.
I was sleeping on a bed and Talia was watching TV.
A few miles away, Astral Jacques shows me where his toddler daughter Brianna was crushed to death by falling rubble. Her teddy bear Federico still lies on the ruined floor.
Talia, now age 7, remembers how she and her sister Brianna fought over the teddy. Talia has made a spectacular recovery from her injuries.
The scars of the earthquake are mental and physical. Half of the rubble has now been cleared. The rest is in telltale piles. And 500,000 people who lost their homes are still living in tents. Haiti's president, Michel Martelly, says that's changing.
We were slow to move the people out of the camp. And lately, we've been able to do it. And I can say that it's a huge step.
I'm standing in Place Boyer in Port-au-Prince. This was a sea of tents after the earthquake. But in the last month or so, everybody has been moved out. And now, children are playing. People are sitting on the benches. Life has returned to some kind of normality.
Jessica and her family have been given a Red Cross grant to pay their rent for the next year. So they've left the squalid tent, which was their home, and moved into two tiny rooms nearby. Life here is better than in the tent, Jessica tells me. But I don't know how I'll pay next year's rent without a job.
What do you say to those people who are living in the camps that you haven't identified as a priority for moving people out of?
They are a priority. The thing is...
But how long must they stay there?
Well, it's not like having a magic stick and this is what I wish I could do.
Despite President Martelly's soothing words, those like Marie-Thérèse, who live in a notorious crime-ridden camp on the outskirts of Port-au-Prince, wonder when they'll ever leave. So many problems, says Marie-Thérèse. I live in fear every night. It's dangerous here. As if life wasn't difficult enough in Haiti, the country's also been dealing with a cholera outbreak for over a year. It may have been introduced by UN peacekeepers, and it's taken hold in the crowded post-quake conditions. Paul Farmer has worked in Haiti for 30 years with his group, Partners in Health.
Haiti has the largest cholera epidemic in the world today.
That's staggering.
It is staggering. If you introduce a pathogen like cholera into an area that is deemed the most water insecure country in the world, it will explode. And it did.
Despite the many problems in Haiti 2 years after the earthquake, Astral Jacques, like so many other Haitians, is determined to be hopeful. Yet it's hard not to be haunted by what happened. As Talia is.
She's still having the nightmare of the earthquake, you know. She's always asking me, is she ever going to see Brianna again? And I tell her, no, maybe in another life, but not in this life, because she's gone.
That was the BBC's Laura Trevelyan reporting from Port-au-Prince.